In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is born. The heart of the message of this feast of our Savior's birth is what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians. In the fullness of time, when God saw that it was just the right time, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son to be born according to human birth, to live under the law. Why? Why did the lawgiver have to come and live under the law? In order to raise us up from human birth to divine birth, and to take us from being servants living under the law to being sons, children and heirs according to the promise. Do you see the pattern? The one who is the true son voluntarily lowers himself to the state of a slave in order to lift the slaves up and make them true sons, true children of God. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is a son by nature. He's by nature the Son of the Father. And we are by nature creatures, but by God's grace, by the gift of adoption, we become sons. So St. Paul says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then also an heir of God through Christ." Because you see, brothers and sisters, God doesn't want slaves. He doesn't even want servants. He wants sons. He wants children. He created us in order that we might become his children. It's glorious. It's the most majestic thing. It's the most wonderful thing that can be, that God calls us to be his children. We, creatures of clay, become God's heirs. And this should make our hearts leap. The prodigal son comes home, you know. The prodigal son who left his father's house, he comes back, and he comes ready to be a slave. You know, "Make me as one of your hired servants." He rehearses the speech that he's going to give to his father when he returns to him. "Make me as one of your hired servants." And he finds instead that the father is not interested in a hired servant. He's not interested in hiring his son, but in restoring his son and returning him to the state of sonship. His father doesn't want him to call him master. He wants him to call him Abba, Daddy, Papa, like a true son. Now in the Gospel we hear how Herod deceitfully tells the wise men to bring him word concerning the child Christ. Herod represents the efforts of Satan to prevent the prodigal son's return, to prevent our adoption as God's children. Satan wants, by whatever means possible, to stop us from being God's children, to stop us from receiving what God desires to give to us. And this is the thing that infuriates him. It infuriates the enemy that we become God's children. And so he's doing everything he can to ruin that. So he inspires Herod to try to squash Christ from the beginning, you know, to destroy him. And so he inspires Herod to send out the soldiers to slaughter all of the children under the age of two, thinking by this somehow to squash, to destroy, to prevent Christ from accomplishing what he came to accomplish. But that fails. And so he inspires hypocrisy, like we see in Herod, who says that he wants to worship Christ while lying through his teeth. But if we repent of our hypocrisy, because you know Satan inspires hypocrisy in us also, he blows this cold wind upon us. When we desire to pray, when we desire to serve God, when we desire, you know, to be sincere, he blows this cold wind of unbelief and of hypocrisy into our hearts. He wants to chill our hearts and to cause us, when we offer our prayers, offer our worship to God, to do it hypocritically. So this is what Satan tries to do to us. But when we recognize that in ourselves, and when we repent of our hypocrisy and humbly beg God to forgive us, then Satan's plan fails again. He comes against us with whatever tricks and whatever threats and whatever traps he can find. But if we humble ourselves and put all of our hope in Christ, all those things will fail too. God is with us, Emmanuel. This is the name given by Isaiah for Christ. God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Who can defeat God? No one. But for us to go from being mere servants, mere slaves or hirelings, to being true sons, true co-heirs with Christ, God's adopted children, requires a gift from us. You know that? Christ asks us for a gift. This is the gift that we must give if we are to be true children, true adopted sons. And this is the gift that the Lord wants on his birthday. And you know what that gift is? Our whole heart. Not part of it, not our heart some of the time, but our whole heart, wholly and completely, without reservation, without stint, without exception, given to the Lord. And in return, what do we receive when we give our whole heart to Christ? What do we receive? Well, adoption is God's children. And we receive, along with that adoption, everything. You know, the uncreated glory of God, and with it, all of the beauty of creation as well. The Holy Trinity and all of God's people we receive. All will belong to us when we are God's heirs, when we are his children. All belong to us when we belong to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, the Lord says. So God is with us, and he is calling us to be his children. Because the enemy opposes this, we have to fight for it. But the Lord is right beside us, giving us the strength to fight. So let us fight courageously, that we might give Christ a fitting birthday present, our whole heart. Let us fight not for our own sake alone, but for each other. For we become God's children together, as one family. May we never forget that God is with us. May we love him and treasure our adoption as his sons above all other things. To God be all glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is born. Lord,